In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just get ready. We're going to go to this handout in a minute. It's a smaller one that you should have been given as you came in this morning. We'll come back to that in a little time. Just to say thank you for those who decorated the church, Sue and team, Moll and Georgina, for decorating it so wonderful. And this place looks resplendent, ready for the couple yesterday. You'll notice the candle here, which I always give every married couple as a gift, my gift to them. And I asked them to light this candle on the anniversary of the wedding for 1 hour. So when they're having supper together, when they're having a date night on the anniversary, to light the candle. And it represents three yeses, because it's got three wicks that give rise to three flames. Yes to yourself, who you really are. Yes to each other, and the wonderful vows that you make before God in this place. The most profound thing you ever say to another human being, you say in the marriage service, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorest, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. And then the yes to God. And so weddings are scary for me, because the expectations are really high. And if you get it wrong, the couple always remember. So whenever there's a wedding here and there's a priest taking it, as we'll go on, do pray for the priest that it is a wonderful celebration. One of the things I really love is that everybody comes in their best and things are done in an excellent way. And that's important, because we believe in a God who speaks of excellence and wonder and glory, the colour, the life, the vitality. Everything we do is shot with wonder and glory, even from our simplest cell to the universe. It's all glorious. And weddings reflect that. And that's why people come at their best, because here is a place where we exalt marriage and we exalt God through it. That wasn't the sermon. Now, next weekend, in all the cathedrals across the country and the world, people will be ordained to Christian ministry. So if you go to St. Paul's Cathedral at 3 o'clock next Saturday, those first deacons will be ordained by the bishop to their ordination and the beginnings of their Christian ministry. My son, Sam, is 1 year off that, because he's training in Bristol. Next year, 2027, he will be at a cathedral ordained by the bishop for Christian ministry. Amazing how time flies. He was this high when we came here, wasn't he? And now he's this high. Wonderful. And I was thinking, what are the sort of things that we would say to anybody who's coming towards ordination to Christian ministry? What a task. Sometimes a very thankless task, by the way. You pour yourself out as a priest, because that's your calling. Sometimes people use you. People use you, and the expectations on you as a pastor and priest are huge. People, they feel they can abuse you and say things that they would never say to anybody else, but they say it to you because they're a priest and they know that you can't necessarily respond. You have to absorb it to the love of Christ. So next Saturday, next weekend, right across the country, five things. Let's go to our sheet now, can we, quickly? I'm not going to go on too long, hopefully. Five things, quickly. Three things Jesus says to those that he is sending out. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Now, for those who are going into Christian ministry, and for all of us, how is your life in relation to fear? As we get older, we become much more fearful. It's part of our physiology. How are you dealing with your fear? The things that wake you up in the middle of the night and cause you to stress and sweat, get out of bed, make a cup of tea because you can't sleep. How do you deal with your fear? Our modern life is preoccupied with fear. in every direction. How are you dealing with it? What is the Christian answer to the fear that you're facing? Jesus says, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Do we just get fretful like everybody else? Go off to a psychiatrist? I've been there. Ask for a prescription drug? I've been there. These are all important. Go for counseling? I've been there. How do you deal with the fear? How do you deal with the fear that you face for your children, the future, your life, the uncertainty, the diagnosis? How are you dealing with the fear? How are the ordinance going to deal with the fear that they will face? How do you deal with the fear when you've got somebody next to you and their life is slipping away? How do you deal with the uncertainty and the questions? How do you deal with it? There is a Christian answer. Here it is. Time and time again. A Christian answer. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in you, Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. The Christian answer to the problem of fear is for you to learn to worship God. That's the Christian answer. It comes time and time and time again in the Psalms. It is the worship of God that will deliver you from your fears. Get that. The uncertainty, the money, not knowing what to do next, the future. Let me give you one simple example. Powerful. Somebody I know is in Guy's Hospital. He's dying with colorectal cancer. He's at stage 4. He's coming to the end of his life. Full of fear. He's a Christian evangelist and pastor, internationally known, and an amazing teacher, far better than I could ever be. Amazing man, but dying with colorectal cancer. How does he deal with his fear? He asks people to bring him, on a daily basis, cassettes in those days, before CDs, worship tapes that he listens to, that exhort the Lord. And as he listens to them, eventually he dies in peace, because it's with the worship of God that he is delivered from his fears. Get this. Many of us have never really learned to worship God with our life and with our words, to lift up praise to him. This is the way that the Bible teaches, that as we come together, we are delivered from our fears. Barbara and I at home, we're uncertain about certain things. How do we deal with it? We pray together. Sometimes in the middle of the night, we pray together. How do we deal with it? We put on, or we asked Alexa to play to us some wonderful Christian worship that lifts up the name of God. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And as we listen to those songs, exalting the name of God, it gives us peace and removes our fear. Christian people, by and large, often are just like the rest of the world. They go from one anxiety to the next. If you've never really discovered the power of Christian worship, you will live a lot of your life daily from beginning to end in constant fear. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me
from all of my fears. The answer to fear in the Christian life is not just therapy, important as it is, but it's knowing who you are in relation to God and saying yes to Him. Worship banishes fear. If you've never discovered its power, and many people are cultural Christians, they've been coming to church for years and they never really connected with it. Really, they know everything about how to do things in church. But it's never gone from here to here. But when you discover its power, you'll come alive to it and He will deliver you from your fears. Quickly, second, ordinand. As we send them out, for you and I, expect huge amounts of opposition. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a servant above the master. Expect it to be hard. Third, ordinand. Make sure that you witness to Christ courageously, from the mountaintops, from the housetops. Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I would acknowledge before my Father in heaven." I fear that we've not lived courageously as Christians. And so the Christian culture, which is so precious in our nation, has gradually been eroded by a secular culture or cultures from other places because Christians have not stood up and been counted for. Christians have not been vocal about their belief. They've not stepped into the public arena, into the marketplace, and spoken of what they believe, and they've surrendered it to other traditions. No. Christian, ordinand, be courageous because Jesus says, declare it from the housetops. Fourth, Christ must come first. Christ isn't against family life or fathers on Father's Day or mothers or daughters. He loved his family. He was brought up in a family. But he is saying this. Anything in your life that you put before your relationship with God, his Father, is a potential idol. It might be a job. It might be a relationship. It might be an addiction. It might be a career. It might be a bank account. It might be even a football team. It might be mum and dad. But most important of all, as long as your life is first of all surrendered to Him, then everything will be in its correct order. It is the worship of God first that banishes our fear. And as long as we make an idol of anything else, our life will be disconnected and misplaced. Fifth, to finish. True life comes through self-sacrifice. True life comes through self-sacrifice. And I'm sure that there are many, many examples here of people who have given themselves away. And in giving themselves away, have received so much back. It's the paradox of the Christian life. As we give ourselves away, so we receive. The more we give away, the more we receive. Yesterday, I was here at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was worried about the wedding, making sure everything was in place. Didn't go to bed till late last night. Most of my time occupied with the wedding. Why? Because I wanted to give myself to it. I wanted to lose myself in it. And as I did, I received so much back. What a blessing. A huge cost of hours and concern. But as you do it and you give yourself away, you find freedom. It's liberating. It's never for me a chore. Even though I live on site here, people think, who would want to live on site? You're married in every sense to the ministry. You are. But for me, it's never been a chore because as I lose myself in it, so I receive from it. And the more that you're occupied with your own life, your own self, your own interests, the more miserable you will become. The saint is the one who gives himself away for others. And the more you do,
the more you will receive. Blessed are those who lose their life, for they will save it. To finish, come back to what I said, thinking about all those ordinances, five things for them from this passage, but perhaps most of all for you. Is your life one of deep fear, really? Is it things that have done, things in the past, uncertainty, relationships at home, your children, what's the future going to be like? What keeps you awake at night? Discover the power of worship, of acknowledging the living God. Because as we do that, he will banish the fears from our heart and life, I promise you.
Amen.
Good afternoon, everybody. At the end of each prayer, I will say, "Thy kingdom come." I would ask that your response be, "Thy will be done." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Almighty God and Father, on this, one of your lovely days, we, the fathers of the world, say thank you. Father, you have been a glorious example for each and every one of us, fathers and mothers, and we thank you for having been there for us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, you have called us to serve you. You have called us to heal. You have called us to love. Bless the work of the church in places of neglect and deprivation. We pray for all who work in the healing ministry. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray for all who work in the world of commerce, for bankers, tax collectors, insurance brokers, road sweepers, car mechanics, nurses. We remember all who are deeply in debt and cannot repay. We pray for countries where the national debt is crippling. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Almighty God and Father, on this, a special Sunday, we bring before you those in need of healing for whatever reason. We think of Sue Broach, Elizabeth Bellow, Daryl Campbell, Malcolm George, Sheila Gillard, Joyce Nickley, Pam Story, Estherine Sarish, Martin Voles, Gary Williams, Angela Zardinia. I pause here for you to add your own names not known to us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, you have come reaching out to each one of us and to touch us. We come to you in faith. We pray for those who have brought us to our present positions. We pray for honor where there is chronic illness or the illness of whatever kind it be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, today, we have learnt of fear. We ponder it, Father, to wonder how it shows. Some of us believe it is bad to show fear, but fear shows that we have a connection with you. For in fear, Father, we turn to you for comfort. So in fear, Father, we bring to you Michael Story and Harry Layton. Father, these were two of your servants who feared you, but who have now been called back to you, to greater and blessed. I pause again for you to add the names of those whom you love, whom you together feared God with. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Father, we give thanks today for a beautiful ceremony which took place here yesterday. It was the marriage of Kerry and Carl. Father, you bless them, and you bless the congregation that attended that wedding. But Father, above that, you blessed us. For in this church today, there are lovely flowers, your gift to us. They give off an extremely pleasant odor, your gift to us. The color white, a color of purity, your gift to us. Father, I close these prayers by asking one thing. Father, never make us greedy. Let us always be mindful of you and know that you have given us more than we can ever repay. Father, thank you for your blessings. And we ask only that you would continue to bless each and every one of us in Barbados, in Wales, in Venezuela, in any other part of the world, Father. We bring ourselves to you, for you and you alone have total control of this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.